This is Audible.
Blackstone Audio presents Voyagers 4, The Return by Ben Bova. To Barbara and Marlene, the dynamic duo. Forget the myths you've heard about the White House. The truth is, they're not very bright guys. All the President's Men. Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward. Prologue. The starship had come from beyond the beyond, ending its pilgrimage through space and time, back at the place where its journey had begun. Keith Stoner came back to his homeworld, but it was not the Earth he had left. The coastlines were noticeably altered. The North Polar Sea was almost entirely clear of ice. It looked so tantalizingly similar, but it was a different world. Most disturbing of all, its history was subtly different. Worse still, the people of Earth were ignoring him. Politicians, world leaders, even the scientists did not answer his greeting. He had known from the outset that he would have to approach them carefully, gently. He did not want to alarm them and rouse their deeply rooted xenophobic fears. But his messages were ignored. They were doing their best to pretend that he did not exist. And there lay the danger. They were all in peril. Both the star voyagers and all those who lived on the crowded, brawling surface of the planet. Life itself was at stake. The brief candle was already flickering, failing. Puzzled, frustrated, Stoner decided to try a different kind of message. They won't be able to ignore this, he thought. But he wondered if that would be right. Book 1. Raul Tavalera. The greatest dangers to liberty lurk in insidious encroachment by men of zeal, well-meaning but without understanding. Louis D. Brandeis, Olmsted v. United States, 1928. Chapter 1.
You've changed.
I've changed. Raul Tavalera cast a surprised look at Evelyn Delmore sitting on the sofa next to him. The party had pretty much drifted away from the living room. The old-fashioned, over-furnished room was almost empty, except a few of his mother's white-haired friends and Evelyn, who'd been at Tavalera's side since the instant the party started, just about. His former neighbors and old schoolmates had gathered in his mother's house to celebrate his returning home after nearly 6 years in space, but it was a strangely quiet, subdued sort of party. Hardly any alcohol, for one thing. When Tavalera had asked for a drink, his mother had handed him fruit punch. He had to get one of his old college buddies to spike his glass with a dollop of tequila. The guy poured the booze surreptitiously out of a pocket flask, eyeing the tiny red light of the security camera up in the corner of the ceiling. And not all of his classmates and former buddies had shown up. When he asked where Vince Tiarlini was, Tavalera got shifty looks and embarrassed mumbles about work camps in the flooded Pacific Northwest. Zeke Berkowitz, too. Re-education center for him. They said he'd be out in another few months, maybe. Even Ellen O'Reilly. Her flaming temper had gotten her sent away somewhere. Nobody seemed to know where. 6 years, Tavalera thought. A lot had changed in 6 years. Or maybe, he thought, it's just that I'm looking at everything through different eyes after being away for so long. There had been dancing, of sorts. Very subdued shuffling around the floor of the dining room, which had been emptied of furniture for the evening. Dull, old-fashioned music from individual phones that each dancer clipped to his or her ear so that the noise won't disturb any of the older people, his mother had explained. He had tried to tune the phone to something livelier, but got only a god-awful shriek in his ear. The phones were restricted to one single channel, bland and boring. Finally, Tavalera had given up in numbed disgust and returned to the living room. That wasn't dancing, he told himself. He'd had more fun in kindergarten when the teachers made them all march in time to patriotic songs. Looking around the hushed living room, Tavalera found that most of the partygoers his own age had crowded into the kitchen, but even there they were a pretty quiet crowd, he thought. He remembered impromptu parties aboard the Goddard Habitat, all the way out by the planet Saturn, where he'd spent a couple of involuntary years and fallen in love. They were noisy, cheerful bashes, fueled by home-brewed booze everybody called rocket juice. People danced to music that made the walls vibrate, for crying out loud. This homecoming gig was more like a wake than a party. "I've known these people since I was a little kid," he mused. "We all went to school together, right through college. But they're different now. Strangers. Maybe it is me," he repeated to himself. "They haven't changed. I guess I have." Tavalera was a compactly built middleweight, exactly 182 centimeters tall. He had a long-jawed, melancholy face with a set of teeth that made him look, he knew, like a caricature of a horse. Not handsome, but not entirely unattractive either. Somber brown eyes, dark hair that he kept cropped short after years of living and working aboard spacecraft.
"Yes, you've changed,"
said Evelyn Delmore, peering nearsightedly at him as she sat beside him on the sofa. The crumbs of his homecoming cake were scattered over the big tray on the coffee table, the table itself, much of the floor, and Tavalera's travel-weary slacks. He realized how old-fashioned the living room was, with its fake fireplace, overstuffed furniture, and the wall-sized TV screen that was never off. There were only a few of the older neighbors in the living room now, all of them placidly watching the TV news. The big wall screen over the mantelpiece was showing bulky, ungainly robotic soldiers clanking through some village in a jungle. "Might as well be the same newscast they were running before I left," Tavalera thought. The info bar running along the top of the screen read, "Medellin, Colombia." That red, unblinking eye of the security camera bothered him, up there in the corner of the ceiling, by the old-fashioned crown molding that his mother loved so well. It seemed to be staring at him. "Why does Ma need a security camera?" Tavalera wondered as he sat on the sofa. "She's got one in every room, for Christ's sake, even the kitchen." He heard somebody yowl with laughter back in the kitchen where almost everyone had moved to. Except for Evelyn, all the people of his own age had squeezed in there. "That's where the food is," he thought. The laughter quickly cut off, as if some teacher or librarian had hissed out a warning shush. He got up and headed toward the back of the house, Evelyn half a step behind him. Tavalera felt almost annoyed. "I don't need her hanging on me." He thought of Holly, back at the Goddard habitat. "I wonder what Holly's doing right now." The kitchen was jammed. People were sitting on the counters, crowding into the mudroom. Couples sitting on the back steps that led up to the bedrooms. But their talk was subdued, low-key. They were almost whispering as if they were in church, or afraid to let anyone hear what they were saying. It unnerved Tavalera. His brother Andy was entertaining them all with an impromptu display of juggling. Impromptu and inept, Tavalera thought. Andy had a big grin on his face as he tossed pieces of fruit in the air. The floor around his feet was littered with oranges, apples, and something that had splattered and made a pulpy mess. It didn't bother his mother at all, he saw. She seemed dazedly pleased at all the friendly faces crammed in around her. She was standing by the stove, looking kind of dumpy and round and as white as bread dough, smiling vacantly, hardly changed at all in the years Tavalera had been away. Except that now her white hair was dyed ash blonde. Why in hell did she dye her hair, he wondered. He realized that Evelyn was staring intently at him, as if trying to read his thoughts. Embarrassed at her attention, he asked, "I've changed, huh?"
"Yes, definitely."
She kept her voice low, just like all the others.
"How?
For the better?"
"I don't know yet."
She was about Tavalera's age, pretty in a pale blonde way, even though she was decidedly on the bony side. Holly was lean too, but vivacious, always full of energy, full of color and fun.
"You're quieter, I guess," Evelyn continued. "More reserved."
He shrugged. He'd been off Earth for nearly 6 whole years. He'd seen massive Jupiter, giant of the solar system, up close. He'd repaired scoop ships that dove into that planet's swirling, multi-hued clouds. He'd nearly been killed out there. He'd lived in a huge space habitat that carried him unwillingly to Saturn with its bright, gleaming rings. He'd left Holly in that habitat that was now orbiting Saturn. He promised her he'd return. But the government had refused to allow him to leave Earth again.